Well, now a new study from the Economic Innovation Group named Cleveland the most distressed large city in the U.S. 13% of housing in this city is vacant. So while we were here in Cleveland, we wanted to see it for ourselves. Jim Rokakis is the former Democratic state treasurer. He's now with the Thriving Communities Institute, and we met up in a lovely area east of downtown.
This is the University Circle area. You've got Case Western Reserve University.
We're on the campus of the Cleveland Museum of Art.
One of the best museums in the country.
And the botanical gardens. I mean, it's
Botanical gardens, the Museum of Natural History. We've got Cleveland Institute of Art.
Cleveland Clinic down the road.
Just down the road.
But you want us to see what?
Well, we're within a mile of some of the most distressed areas in the city. The foreclosure crisis did a real number on this part of the country. We had over 100,000 foreclosures in a 10-year period, and it resulted in an 18% population loss in the city. The only city that lost more population percentage-wise was the city of Detroit.
Okay, so you want us to go see? Let's go see.
Sure.
Jim and others are pushing to demolish more blighted buildings than the city already has. The state just released about $100 million additional dollars from the Treasury Department's Foreclosure Relief Program. One problem, the money can't be used for multifamily buildings. And as we'll see, part of Cleveland's blight is old abandoned brick apartment buildings. Another problem, there are people who don't want demolition. We headed down Euclid Avenue past coffee shops and a garden store.
So we're about to cross, though, this bridge is the dividing line. We're going from this vibrant, booming neighborhood into one of the most distressed communities in the state of Ohio. It's a community
just called, like that.
Just like that. It's called East Cleveland. East Cleveland is one of the poorest communities in the state of Ohio. They're in fiscal emergency. They don't have money to pay their police. They don't have money to pay their firemen. So here we are. We're entering East Cleveland, and then we quickly hit what will be some of the worst blight you're going to see.
This is reminding me so much of Flint, Michigan, parts of Flint, Michigan. Some of these are nice, you know, bigger homes, but there's holes in the walls.
It is very tragic. Some of these houses are the most beautiful homes. If you look to your right, you can tell they have historic qualities. They were built in the late 1800s.
Big, wide porches.
But there you are, abandoned, boarded. Look to your left. Look at that multifamily.
Oh, my gosh.
All empty.
By the way, we'll have pictures at herenow.org so people can follow along. But that unit that we just saw, pretty. In its day, it must have been.
And you could just tell there was a lot of... Look at the brickwork around the window. It's quality. It's granite.
It's kind of a Tudor, but it's completely falling down.
This community, as I said, has been in fiscal distress or emergency for almost a generation now. They're unable to borrow. The state auditor, who I met with recently, is angry. This is a community that has seen abandonment, not unlike what you see in Detroit.
But well, you mentioned anger. You have your critics. There are people, including City Councilman Jeff Johnson, who say rehab. And, you know, I have to say, Jim, we just passed that. That would be blocks of housing that would be taken out. He says, don't demolish, that you've got just one tool in your toolbox, and that tool is, if it's an empty house, tear it down.
Well, the reality is that's not true. The land bank that I set up here, and I've now got 36 of them in the state of Ohio we've helped to set up, probably rehabs one house for every three they take down. Where there is a market and where there is interest in rehabilitating that property, the property is rehabilitated. The problem is the cost of rehabilitating some of these older structures is so high that it's actually easier to build new. Okay, but let's assume for a second it's worth preserving because it's a historic structure. Then the question is, where do you get the money? And if you talk to people in those neighborhoods, we completed a study last summer. We surveyed 160,000 properties. Not once did any resident come out and say, please save this property. Please preserve this property. The overwhelming sentiment of people in those neighborhoods is, how soon can you take that property down?
Well, it brings down their property value. It's dangerous for kids.
Well, here's what it's done to the property values. The average neighborhood on this side of town is probably now 80% of the equity or the value has been lost since 2005. We did a study that proved to the county that when these buildings don't pay property taxes, it creates a greater burden on the communities where property taxes are being paid.
It's a vicious cycle, too.
$43 million in property tax burdens got shifted from these neighborhoods to more stable neighborhoods. You may think because you live in a suburb, this isn't your problem. It is, and you're paying for it. I'm going to take you down a street here. It was a beautiful street where people lived who worked downtown. They'd come out here to the corner at Euclid and take the streetcar. They're beautiful buildings. The entire neighborhood has been abandoned.
Oh, my gosh. Look at this. This is breathtaking.
This is America, by the way. This isn't a third world country.
So we're heading down a street which is completely cracked and grass is growing through it. At the end of the street, we can see this complete garbage. Looks like old chairs and debris dumped in the street. Oh, to our left, there's a house that's apparently been demolished but not cleared out. It's just, that is a disaster area for children. It's just all bricks and old wood and nails and things. And then to our right, these big, beautiful brick buildings that are completely abandoned. But I can see what you're saying. Those lots are there, but who's going to buy and build on that lot until these buildings are gone?
Right. Well, that's the whole point, that if you clear all of this, you're creating a 20-acre site within a mile of University Circle. It's a developable site. It's not developable now. So the question is, what do you do with this? And if you can save some, you should. But the neighborhood I just took you through, there's nothing to be saved there.
That's Jim Rakokas with the Thriving Communities Institute, part of the Western Reserve Land Conservancy. They want to see those abandoned blocks turned into green space or sold and built on. Your thoughts. Does your city or town have blight? What's your plan? Let us know and check out these pictures. Not just abandoned homes, but blocks of old brick apartment buildings.